makes for a very interesting life. I don't know if you remember the commercials by Holiday Inn, the best surprise is no surprise. Well, if the best surprise is no surprise, do not go into ministry, because you will always be surprised by questions. The one time I received a 27-page letter, and that letter did not have anything endearing in it. It was basically 27 pages of "I'm angry at you," and I didn't know as a pastor I had done anything to make somebody so angry that they would write 27 pages. I don't think I personally have ever been that angry at anything. I've never been that passionate about things. There are some things in our world that are wrong right now, but honestly, I'm probably not going to write 27 pages about it. And everyone said, amen. On the other hand, sometimes you receive incredibly good notes or letters. And after I preached the last sermon in this series, Come Holy Spirit, it was called The Gifts. Now it was The Gifts Part 1. I received a communication from Emily Eflin. And it was an encouraging bit of communication, and it asked a great compound question. And that is the reason I'm preaching today's sermon. And so I'm going to read what she said. It's a really lovely letter. You would expect that from Emily, right? A lovely letter. It's lovely. So it says this: RJ, this sermon series has been amazing. Wow, I like that already. This sermon series has been amazing. Thank you for teaching on the Holy Spirit and making these sermons very Bible-centered. I've learned a lot already, and it has spurred studying and seeking God in areas that I haven't really learned about before. Michael and I are discussing today's sermon and have a question. How do you balance spiritual gifts and character personality traits? I feel like some of the gifts that are listed are ones that you truly have to rely on the Holy Spirit to move, tongues, healing, etc., or they won't work. But there are others that have to do with personality, administration, hospitality, etc. Do you think there are different categories of spiritual gifts? I'm trying to leave this kind of broad intentionally so that I don't skew your response. I appreciate all that you do, Emily. Well, thank you, Emily, for being who you are, for your desire to grow in your knowledge of God, and for asking such a thoughtful, thought-provoking question. And I want to give you the short answer to the question. Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. And now I'm going to give you the long answer, and that's what the rest of this sermon is about. The answer to the question, I believe, comes from our text, which is found in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 4 through 6. If you've got a Bible, even if it's electronic, would you turn there and have that? Because I want you to see that it's in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 4 through 6. And it says this: there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Okay, did you see that? There are diversities of gifts, differences of ministries, and diversities of activities. Before I jump into the text any further, I've been asked this question when it comes to the subject of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts: what books would I recommend for further study? And so I began to look and scrape and hunt and read and pick through a number of books. And I wish I could say that there are a plethora of great books on the subject, but that's simply not the case. There were a number of classic books written during the charismatic renewal of the late 60s and the early 70s, and very few books of note have been written since. A couple of books you might want to read would include The Holy Spirit in You, which was first published in 1972, written by Dennis and Rita Bennett. Dennis Bennett was an Episcopal priest that was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember sitting in chapel at Northwest University listening to Dennis Bennett in the pulpit, and he was fantastic. Second book I would recommend is called Speaking in Tongues. I think there might be a newer title to that, but it was first published in 1968, was written by Larry Christensen, who is an ordained Lutheran minister and really noted for writing a book called The Christian Family. And this is before any of the James Dobson stuff was out. It was a classic, sold over 1 million copies, and was throughout the body of Christ. But anyway, Larry Christensen writes with a clarity that's pretty amazing. And then last but not least, Your Spiritual Gifts Can Help Your Church Grow, first published in 1979 by C. Peter Wagner. C. Peter Wagner served for 30 years as a professor of church growth at Fuller Theological Seminary's School of World Missions. Wouldn't you like to have that as your title? What do you do for a living? Well, I am the professor of church growth at Fuller Theological Seminary's School of World Missions. Wow. Smarter man than I am. And I remember teaching from this particular book on spiritual gifts in 1985. Wow, that's a long time ago. How many, simple math, is that like 30 years ago? I was hoping it wasn't 40 years ago or 50 years ago. Now to the question of why there seems to be a lack of solid books concerning the person and the role of the Holy Spirit in the church today. It seems to me that the charismatic movement got sidetracked in the early 80s. Please hear what I'm saying. It was less about building a relationship with God through embracing the work of the Holy Spirit in us, less about reaching people with the gospel message, and it became a preoccupation with other stuff. So there was suddenly lots of people writing books about demonology, lots of books about when is Jesus coming back, a lot of books about prosperity or signs and wonders and end time prophecy, and it just went on and on. And it's not that the Bible doesn't talk about demons or God's blessings or about end times or signs and wonders, but none of these subjects should ever become the focus of our theological fervor. Do you hear what I'm saying? We should not be preoccupied with the minor things in the Bible when we have major things to do in the kingdom and work of God. In the 10th chapter of Luke, there's a story that puts it all into perspective. Jesus sent out the 72 to do ministry. In the words of John Tyson, they were called the 72 because they weren't the 12. You see where I'm going with this? The 72 were called the 72 because they weren't the 12. But Jesus was commissioning them and getting ready to send out the 72. This was the 72's chance to really shine and perhaps bump somebody out of the 12. You know, to move up in the organization. How many of you like to bump other people and move up? See, there are a few of you that are honest. You know, they were hoping that if their ministry proved significant, that Jesus would suddenly see them as one of the pillars that the future church would be built upon. And Jesus had given them the mandate and the authority to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick and cast out demons. And so that's what they did. They went out, and that's exactly what they got involved in. They preached the kingdom of God, and people accepted the message. They cast out demons, and they laid hands upon the sick, and the sick were healed. And when they came back to Jesus, they were all excited about what they were able to do in His authority. Jesus, We cast out demons. Jesus, we healed the sick. It was really great. I'm a part of the 72, but maybe I could be a part of the 12. And I want you to know that even among the 12, we know that there were at least two of them that were saying, you know, I know I'm a part of the 12, but I'd like to be a part of the two. One of us on the right hand of God, right, your right hand when you're ruling, and one on the left hand. And I'm not sure between James and John which one was vying for the right hand side, because everybody knows that the right hand side, that's really where you want to be. Amen? Sounds impressive after all. My healing ministry is not that impressive. And wow, if it comes to casting out demons, I'm not really that excited about. Anybody here excited about casting out demons? That's kind of scary stuff. But they were so impressed with what they had been able to do in the authority of Jesus, and then Jesus reigns on their parade. And this is what he says to them. It's found in Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 19 and 20. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Let me just stop right there. Did you know that you've been given authority, kingdom authority, just like that? Just like that? But he goes on to say this, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. My point is this. It is possible to get caught up in the things that we are doing and forget who we are serving. To get excited about we're being used by the Holy Spirit to do significant things and forget that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To do signs and wonders only to come before God and hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. To build up an impressive ministry resume only to lack the humility that is truly impressive to God. To care more about your ministry than your relationship. We don't worship ministry. We don't worship preaching. We don't worship worship. The object of our affection is God. And he needs to be our first and only love. All that to say, the gifts of the Spirit are about assisting you in edifying the body of Christ and doing the work of ministry that God has prepared for you in advance to do. It's not about moving up. It's not about making a name for yourself. It's not about building a huge reputation. It's not about getting on television. It's not even about how many people are attending the church. It's about my relationship with Jesus. And if I'm going to truly care about what Jesus cares about, I'm going to care about the harvest more than I'm going to care about my reputation. Can I get an amen? Because nicely put, RJ. Thank you. Love you. No letters this week, though. You know, if we put our ministry for Christ before our relationship with Christ, we're missing the point. And God will have no other idols before him, including our ministry. Okay, so let's get into spiritual gifts. This helps keep our balance. If God truly begins to move in our midst through gifts, and the Holy Spirit's anointing is upon this place, we need to make sure that we keep things in the correct priority, so the enemy can't take a revival and move it sideways. Do you hear what I'm saying? I think that God wants to do significant things with us, but it begins with our affection and love for him. So let's dig a little deeper here. C. Peter Wagner defines spiritual gifts as, a spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. He goes on to say, this is as tight and economic a definition as I've been able to formulate and still retain what I consider to be the essential elements. If you look in your Bible and you search through the New Testament, you will find that there are three major lists of spiritual gifts. The first list comes from Romans, the 12th chapter, and you will find prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. The second list comes from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and you have wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, faith, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostle, helps, and administration. Then in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, you have pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, and apostle. See, Peter Wagner then adds some other spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament. He mentions the gifts of celibacy, voluntary poverty, martyrdom, hospitality, missionary, intercession, deliverance, and leading worship. Now, let me tell you what all these different spiritual gifts have in common. They are all works of God's grace working in and through us. That's what they have in common. Everything that we are, starting with the fact that we exist, is a work of God's grace. I will admit that as I examine these lists, I have the same question that Emily raised. So let me go back to her loaded question. Let me remind you of it. How do you balance spiritual gifts and character personality traits? I feel like some of the gifts that are listed are ones that you truly have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to move, such as tongues, healing, etc., or they won't work. But there are others that have to do with personality, things like administration, hospitality, etc. Do you think there are different categories of spiritual gifts? I think that the answer to this compound question that Emily asked is found in our text. Once again, 1 Corinthians tells us that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. It's a very common approach. It's the approach that C. Peter Wagner takes in his book talking about spiritual gifts, to take all these different lists, all the different spiritual gifts, and lump them all together as if they're the same thing. And what they have in common is that they flow from God, that they are birthed by God's grace, and that they are given for the common good, the building of God's kingdom. And yet our text does differentiate between these works of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it mentions these three categories of how He works in us. And I've already said it, but there are diversities of gifts. There are different kinds of ministries. There are diversities of activities. And so what I'm going to do this morning is something that I rarely do. I'm going to move into the area, the arena of pure speculation and give you my opinion. Okay? I generally try to avoid that like the plague. So don't take this opinion as the gospel truth. Don't go out of here saying, well, RJ said, do not quote me. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 1, Paul tells us that he does not want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. But if you go to the original Greek, it's he does not want us to be ignorant concerning pneumatikos, pneuma meaning spirit. So he does not want us to be ignorant concerning the working of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the whole chapter is about the subject matter. So as you read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, just remember that it's all about pneumatikos. It's all about how the Spirit is working in his church. Then Paul goes on to say that within the pneumatikos, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, that within this umbrella, within this context, there are diversities of gifts, different ministries, and diversities of activities. And what we have here is the working of the Holy Spirit in what I would consider three different streams that we loosely tie together under the moniker of spiritual gifts. Are you following me? This is like an academic class. I should rip all this stuff off, get a whiteboard, and get down there. It would be more comfortable. The first stream would be the diversities of gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul calls these gifts the manifestations of the Spirit. He goes on to list these manifestations of the Spirit as gifts of healing, miracles, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and discerning of spirits. In the case of this stream of pneumatikos, I would say that Emily is right. None of these gifts work without the enablement of the Holy Spirit. We need his power to move or it doesn't happen. We don't do miracles unless the Holy Spirit is directly involved. We don't do healing unless the Holy Spirit is directly involved. Throughout the history of the church, there have actually been people that were raised from the dead. We don't raise people from the dead with our personality. You understand what I'm talking about? It doesn't happen because we can sing well. It demands that Almighty God, creator of everything that is, moves in a way that only he can move and does something that only he can do. As far as I can tell, I don't have a gift of healing. The Bible has authorized me to pray for the sick, but I'm not particularly known for healing people. Yes, come to our service. Our pastor is a healer. No, that's probably not true. But let me tell you a story. The night before I preached part one of this sermon, I had gone to the men's breakfast at night, and I had eaten lots of eggs, lots of bacon, lots of greasy hash browns, and Lord knows what, whatever else they had there. I stuffed my face. I was full, satisfied, probably more full than I will be at Thanksgiving. I went to sleep that night, snuggled up in my bed, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, I became conscious of the fact that I wasn't feeling very well. So I pulled myself out of bed and I went into the restroom and I just sat. I'm not going to tell you where I sat, but there is only one seat in our restroom. That's as graphic as it gets. And I'm sitting there, and I've taken the waste paper basket, and I'm holding it here. And I am feeling heartburn. I'm feeling chemicals from my stomach wanting to jump up into my upper throat. And I am nauseated beyond belief. And I knew that I had to wake up the next day and preach the first sermon about spiritual gifts, which includes gifts of healing. And so as I was there, I don't know how you handle nausea, but, you know, throwing up is the very last thing I will do. I don't know what it is. We had a Russian immigrant girl in our school in second grade. She threw up in our classroom. I didn't go near her for the next 5 years. And you know, I don't know what it was. It was the smell. It was just the situation. But the last thing I ever want to do is throw up. I know that I'll feel better if I do. And if I don't, it's going to take about 6 to 8 hours for my body to process all this bad stuff, you know. And I really did not want it to come up because I did not want to taste those eggs and greasy hash browns and everything once again. I'm just being real. This sermon may not go online. And I thought, you know, about the only time I ever just want to be dead is when I have nausea. And I was in pain. I did something weird. I just put my hand right here. And I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I need to preach tomorrow. And I just pray that you would heal me and help the nausea to go away. And something happened to me that has never happened to me. I have never had a great nausea, and suddenly it just goes away. Within 5 seconds, it was completely gone. The heartburn was completely gone. And I went back to bed and went to sleep. And I got up and I preached the sermon, and I felt great. I would say that was a gift of healing. I couldn't do it for myself. Wow, wouldn't it be cool if I could do that all the time? RJ, be refreshed. Let's go! You know, it doesn't work that way for me. But what I experienced was something that only the healing power of God could do. It's never happened to me before. I've never prayed for my... I mean, I've been nauseated lots of times, and my prayer's usually been, Lord, either heal me or kill me. And 8 hours later, I feel like I've been through 15 rounds of boxing, and the other person was a lot better than I was. I went to sleep, and I felt fine. That's miraculous. I can't even get rid of heartburn like that. I can tell you, though, the next time the men have a breakfast at night, I am going to tape my mouth shut. So there's this stream of spiritual gifts that absolutely demand that the Holy Spirit is operating in power. The second stream of pneumatikos would be diversities of ministries. I would put the list from Ephesians chapter 4 in this category. I believe that the Holy Spirit calls and anoints people to be pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. There are a couple of lists of character qualities that also have to be met in order for that person's calling to be recognized and sanctioned. And I can also tell you from my own experience that this is indeed a calling. Indeed a calling. And there are many of you that are out there that are called. Now, I'm going to get on my soapbox, but it's not a big... I don't really have an axe to grind. I think some people teach children because there's a need. And they see the need and they respond to the need. But then there are some people who feel a calling to teach children. And that's a whole different ball game. I grew up in a church, and I never thought I would ever get out of junior boys class. I had a teacher that... Oh my goodness, it was just painful to be in the class. But I had two other teachers, one who taught a class and one who taught in the children's church. These ladies were anointed of God to teach children. One was Isabel Treglone, and the other one was Alice Foster. And they were amazing teachers, and week after week they would faithfully show up and teach children. And I can tell you one thing for sure, you never heard from them of, we want to be in big church. We want to be with all the other adults. We want to be over there. No, they didn't want to be in here. They wanted to be where they were called to be. They wanted to be with the children. And they had such an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them that they taught things. To this day, I remember things that they taught. I remember almost nothing that the pastor taught in the pulpit in big church, but I remember what these ladies taught in Sunday school and children's church. I still remember it was Isabel Treglone who was teaching the fundamental doctrines that we believed in. There are 14 of them. And she went through week by week, and she had us memorize scripture. And there are still scriptures that I have memorized in my brain to this day because of her teaching, and I had to be all of 8 or 9 years old. Still with me to this day. Folks, there are people who are called to different kinds of ministries, and they are fantastic. I can only guess that David and Audra have worked with our youth for many, 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 many long years because they felt a call. Because you don't endure and keep on. You're not faithful unless you know you've been called. But when you've been called and anointed by God, the pneumatikos, to do a specific ministry, you do it because you're called. And we owe you a hand. I think that calling into ministry probably does relate to the natural talents that God has placed in our DNA and the Spirit's knowledge of the skills that we will be developing as we move into that ministry. But it is a calling of the Holy Spirit. In our church body, the Holy Spirit is raising up spiritual leaders for ministry. There's a whole list of people here who feel calls into different kinds of ministry, sometimes for right now and sometimes for the future. And just to put you on the spot, but if you have felt a call, specific call towards ministry, would you just stand? Specific call for ministry. Wow. What we have here is a work of the Holy Spirit calling us to different ministries. Thank you. You may be seated. That's kind of exciting, wouldn't you say? The third stream of pneumatikos would be the diversities of activities. And I would put some of the following activities in this stream. The gift of helps, administration, hospitality, giving, mercy, etc., etc. And I just want to stop there. How much ministry is accomplished by people who have the spiritual gift of helps? We would literally not function as a church without this spiritual gifting flowing through our body. I would not be here today if I wasn't married to somebody who has that gifting. Jody absolutely has the gifting of helps. She is incredible. I mean, she is. She's an amazing person. But Believer's Church would have to close its door without these people. People who sweep the floors, keep the books, mow, print, work in the nursery, repair, set up, tear down, greet, usher, play instruments, project media, run lights, clean toilets, visit patients in the hospital, prepare food for others, make phone calls, enter data into the computer, make arrangement for camps, advertise, design logos and artwork, repair the parking lot, weed flower beds, decorate the auditorium. People who constantly and consistently show up and volunteer for anything and everything. And what I've just described does not need a manifestation of the Spirit. But it is still a work of the Spirit. It is still birth of the Spirit. And there is nothing supernatural about cleaning a toilet unless you're like me. I can hold my breath for about 2.5 minutes while I'm doing it. It's like, I'm not going to do it for 2.5 minutes here, you know, and just kill over. But you'd be amazed how long I can hold my breath when I'm doing that. Or changing the grandkids' diapers. That's the other thing, you know. Get some oxygen, go in there. It gets really frantic towards the end when you need air. And you go, done! You know, it's like calf roping. Man, I'm fasted. Get that done. Let me tell you what it takes, though, to move in these ministries, these diversities of activities. It takes a conviction of the heart that God has called you to be a servant in the kingdom, and that it takes priority over almost everything else. That you show up because you have a conviction of your calling. You show up because God has gifted you to do these things. And you have a commitment to be faithful to that calling. All these streams of pneumatikos are for one purpose in general: to build the body of Christ for the glory of our awesome Lord. And everyone, that means everyone who can hear my voice, has been given one or more spiritual gifts. There is some place within the pneumatikos, the work of the Holy Spirit, that you fit. You've been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And most of the time when we quote that scripture, that's where we stop. But if you look at the next verse, it tells us that God has saved us for a purpose, and that is to do the works that he has already foreordained and destined for us to do. You have been called. You have been gifted. You are a part of the Holy Spirit's work. Let me warn you, your diversities of gifts, your different ministries, your diversities of activities will not assist in building the kingdom of God if they're dormant. Does anybody else here suffer with the problem of procrastination? Do we have any card-carrying procrastinators? There is too much, entirely too much, just in humanity in general, but certainly in the church, of one day, I'm going to do this. One day, I'm going to be that. One day, I will achieve that. And what I'm telling you is, today is the day. Today is the day. To put it bluntly, it's time to get off our duff. We have entirely too many pew potatoes. And Jesus told us that the harvest is plentiful. There are thousands of people that we are surrounded by that will gladly receive the gospel if somebody will just come into their life, extend relationship to them and tell them about Jesus. Thousands. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. So we pray that the Lord of the harvest will raise up laborers. As a pastor, I'm praying that the Lord will raise you up and that you will begin to take your place in the pneumatikos. It's going to be a mighty thing. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and he just reminded Timothy of this. Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does that tell us? We are all authorized to be shakers and movers in the kingdom of God. We have all been authorized to lay hands upon people and pray for them. We have all been authorized to proclaim the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've all been deputized to work and move in the kingdom of the Lord. The question is, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to embrace what God has placed in you? It's time to stir up the gifts and build the kingdom. It's time to stir up the gifts and build the kingdom. It's time to stir up the gifts and build the kingdom. Today is your day. It's time to stand up and be counted. It's time to do that which you say you want to do sometime in the future. It's time to be the person that God has called you to be. And today is the day. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? I even think of our church. Our church is growing, and I thank the Lord for that. But the truth is, we could get out on the highways and byways and compel people to come in, and next week we would not be able to put everybody in the house. It could happen just like that. Today is the day. What are we going to do? Would you stand with me? I'll give